Can Mike Norvell turn around Florida State in 2025? That's the question on everybody's mind, and that's what we're going to talk about today. What's up, No Nation? It's Jesse from Plant the Spear. Thank you for tuning in. And I know you guys said that you enjoyed kind of nerding out with me a little bit on the Trouble in the Trenches episode. So I thought we'd come back today with a little one-on-one with something that's been on my mind as well as most of the fan base's mind recently. And that it can Mike Norvell even fix this? Because right now it obviously appears that Florida State is going to stick with Mike Norvell at head coach. Let him rebuild the staff. Let him try to fix this going forward, because obviously that buyout is a big deal. But one thing that I want to address is I've seen a lot of comments throughout the fan base recently of, oh, we're just going to have to go through a couple of years of being mediocre. Mike Norvell's never going to be able to fix this. Florida State can't recover as long as he's their head coach. We're eventually going to go down a path where this is going to be a very expensive ending. We're going to fire Mike Norvell. We're going to start over again in a few more years. I understand that argument. I get it. I'm not here to tell you uncertainties of what can and cannot happen. I know that this season has been a fall off of epic proportions. It's the worst season in my lifetime, the worst season in the last 5 decades. And it is frankly inexcusable at Florida State. I feel like the hole that Mike Norvell has dug himself is going to be really hard to get out. But I don't think it's impossible for Florida State to be turned around under Mike Norvell. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So before we jump into things, let me bring you a quick word from today's sponsor, and that's Alumni Hall FSU. These guys got great FSU gear. It's Seminole Heritage Week. They have the whole collection for you guys if you want to go check that out. 1415 Timberlane Road in Tallahassee. Shop online at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page and make sure you use code SPEAR to save 10%. So thank you so much for supporting those that support us. So let's jump into this. So we're talking about Mike Norvell and being able to turn around Florida State. And the problem with this argument in certain ways is that when you talk about Mike Norvell and the mess that we're in right now, early in his tenure, it's hard to compare this to other tenures, right? There's a couple of examples out there with Brian Kelly at Notre Dame, who had one down year, reinvented himself, came back, had more success. There's also the Jim Harbaugh case where, you know, they had kind of some success. Then they had the really bad season in 2022 or 2020, I think it was. He fired most of his staff, came back and won a national championship 3 years later. And so those are great examples too. And I think the important aspect from those is the fact that it did happen kind of later in their tenure, and you need this to only be one bad year, because if this drags on, you're going to lose that momentum continually, and they've already had a hard time recruiting with a lot of success. So it needs to be a quick turnaround. That I will give you. But there is another roadmap out there that I want to talk about that shows how Florida State can recover from this under Mike Norvell. Because again, it's hard to talk about this when you compare it to coaches who are early in their tenure, or even Mike Norvell when he first got to Florida State. You know, yes, he started out 3-6, then went 5-7. Then we saw that the climb to 10 and 13 wins. We saw that, but it's easy to go, this was someone else's mess. I'm selling a vision. You've got that new car smell, that new coach smell still going on, kind of like what you're seeing in Miami. You know, you still are able to sell a vision and a dream and kind of blame someone else for the problem. The issue now when you talk about them turning it around under Mike Norvell is this is his mess. He created this problem. These were his coaches, his players, his portal evaluations, his processes that led Florida State to 1-9, probably going to be a 2-10 type of season. Now, we do have to remember that Mike Norvell, the same things that he has in place now, also led them to get to a 23-4 record over 2 years with an ACC championship. But I understand what you're saying. He led us here. And so it's a harder message to sell this time around. But the reason I think he can do it is the blueprint that has been laid out by Pitt. And that is what we're going to talk about a little bit today, because I think this is a really good case study on how it can be done. So when we talk about Pat Narduzzi at Pitt, think back to 3 years ago. We're going to rewind a little bit farther. Pitt won 11 games in an ACC title. Best season Pitt has had in a long time. It's their only ACC title since they've joined. It was a great season for them. That was the Kenny Pickett year. They had a really high-powered offense, and they did great. They weren't a playoff team, but they won the ACC. Then after that 11-win season, they turned that around and followed that up with a 9-win season and a second consecutive AP top 25 finish. But after that, Now, granted, theirs was a little bit backwards from Florida State. Like, we went 10 wins to 13. They went 11 to 9 because they had changed offensive coordinators in that 9-win season. But anyway, you get the point. They had two very successful seasons back-to-back, and then things fell off a cliff. The disaster happened, and that was the 2023 season. Pitt only won 3 games that year. They only won 2 versus FBS. One was an FCS win where they blew out FCS team in the very first game of the season. They got blown out like 3 times that season by FSU, by North Carolina, and by Notre Dame. Sounds kind of familiar to Florida State right there. And they also finished, after 2 years removed from winning the ACC, they finished tied for 12th in a then 14-team ACC. So second to last is where they finished. And this happened, the reason I think this is a good comparison is this happened in Pat Narduzzi's 9th season. So similar to Mike Norvell, it was his players, his coaches, and his processes that got them there. I think he even had a really kind of famous quote that popped off that year about, well, we thought we did a good job of restocking the roster, but apparently we didn't do that, which was like a real shot at his players. And I was kind of like, whoa, you know, he kind of just really called his players out there. Maybe it was warranted. Maybe we'd like to see a little bit more of that from Mike Norvell. But at the end of last season, at the end of 2023, when they went 3-9, Pat Narduzzi knew he had to shake things up. He even is quoted as saying, crap, I have to clean house. Now, he didn't say crap. You can use your imagination on what he used. He then proceeded to fire almost his entire offensive staff, changed the way their NIL was structured, and even showed the door to a couple players who were pressing them for money when they hadn't earned it. Sound familiar? Sounds just like Florida State. And I'm going to be referencing an article throughout this that will be published on our website, plantthespear.com, if you want to check that out by the time you're seeing this video. And the thing with their NIL collective is they went from everybody gets paid to now the guys who earn it get paid accordingly. And I would love to see Florida State go to that model. Obviously, Florida State's a much bigger player in NIL than Pitt. So, you know, they're going to need to reevaluate NIL, but we're going to talk about that later in the offseason. Or later in this episode, we're going to talk about how they need to reevaluate NIL this offseason. So anyway, in that terrible 2023 season where Pitt only won 3 games, their offensive production took a massive drop. They went from 31.3 points per game on average down to 20.2. Sound familiar? Sounds just like Florida State. If you factor out that one FCS game where they scored 45 points, keep in mind Florida State hasn't played an FCS team yet. They got that coming on Saturday against Charleston Southern. That average drops to just 17.9 points per game. That's pretty much only about 4.5 points higher than where Florida State is at now at 13.3 points per game. So just an abysmal showing from your offense that season. They were held under 20 points in 6 games, under 10 points in 3 games. Their offense fell all the way from 44th to 116th. Not quite as bad as Florida State's, but still a massive drop-off. And that looks even worse when you consider that 2021 season when they won the ACC, Pitt had the 3rd-ranked offense in college football, scoring offense, at over 41 points per game on average. So that's a massive drop-off. I mean, you are talking about a huge drop-off over the course of 2 seasons. Now, it was still a big drop off from 22 to 23. So now looking forward to where we're at now for 2024, Pitt, as we said, they cleaned house. They brought in basically an entire new offensive staff. They brought in a new offensive coordinator who is also their quarterback's coach. This is a guy that came from an FCS school, Western Carolina, had a lot of success at Western Carolina. Not a really big name, though. And I know that's been a conversation around Florida State circles right now, is they need to go out and get proven coordinators. And I feel the same way because the pressure is higher at Florida State than it is Pitt. So you can't afford to get this wrong. You have to get this right because we talked about this in a previous episode. This is probably the only chance Mike Norvell is going to get to make significant changes to his staff. And so they bring in this guy. He's a very fast-paced offense, likes a lot of motion, a lot of eye candy, likes to play up-tempo. Sounds kind of like Brennan Marion, if that's who we think they're going to get, but the only time will tell there. So along with a new OC, they bring in a new tight end coach, a new offensive line coach, new wide receivers coach, new running backs coach. So basically, the entire offensive staff had been overhauled. Yet, it was still Pat Narduzzi at the helm, and it was, now I understand he's a defensive-minded coach. He doesn't call the plays on offense. Mike Norvell has said that he is open to giving up play calling and all that stuff, so we have to take that into account, too. The same strength and conditioning staff is there. I know that's something that's been a hot topic with Florida State after his press conference yesterday, where he said he had confidence in them. Look, Florida State may not be the most physical team this year, but I don't think it's because they're not strong to a degree. I think it's poor technique, poor coaching in some aspects, because some of these same guys that are not doing well this year, you know, Florida State was notorious for running teams over, for bullying teams late in the game last year. And that was, everyone was loved this strength and conditioning staff last year. Look what they did in the combine. And so just keep that in mind as far as the strength and conditioning staff goes. We can talk about that in a later episode. The other thing Pitt did was they leaned on the portal for help. Now, on this current 2024 team for Pitt, their leading passer, their leading rusher, and two of their top four in receiving yards, one of those is a running back who's really came onto the scene and had an explosive year, and their starting center are all transfers. So a lot of their difference makers came from the portal. That's something we've seen Florida State do in the past. The other thing is better coaching has helped. Three of their four other starting offensive linemen besides the transfer saw an increase in their PFF grade from 2023 to 2024. So the coach that came in has gotten more out of the guys that are already there. Now, we've talked about this. Alex Atkins recently got fired. He was not a great developer. He was not a great offensive line coach. And so the new guy that they bring in could potentially get more out of the guys that you already have on the roster, because we feel like there are still some good guys on this roster. You could get Richie Leonard back. That's another experienced guy. You're going to have to go into the portal and get some guys, but a good offensive line coach can get more out of what you already got. The same goes for receivers. We'll see what they move they make at running backs or something like that. We'll see how that goes. But anyway, you get the point there. And so with these new changes for 2024, Pitt's scoring offense has made a 72.4% jump in points per game from just over 20 points a game all the way up to 35 points a game. And that's considering they didn't have their quarterback for the last game that they played. And we'll talk about that more in a second. But their offense went from being ranked 100 below 100th to in the top 25 at 24th in the country in only one season. So if Pitt can do it, there's nothing that says that Florida State can't do it either, because you're already starting with a little bit higher of a ceiling with the talent that you have. Now, the reason I want to point something out too, is while all this is happening, while the success in the win column has completely flipped from one year to the next, the defense only improved by 2.3 points per game allowed. So it's not like the defense was bad in 2023 and then got significantly better in 2024. Really, the majority of the success by their offense is what has led to the success in the win column. And so that's really what we need Florida State. Like, their defense isn't terrible this year. It's not good. It's not up to FSU standard. I understand all that. But if they could just get slightly better next year and the offense rebounds like Pitt did, you can see that offense lead to success next year. Because, you know, here's the thing. If you took Pitt and you gave them a 20-point-per-game average like they had in 2023, they're only a three-win team this year in 2024. But we know that Pitt, with the improved offense, they started the season 7-0. They climbed as high as 18th in the rankings. But we also know that they've lost three games in a row. But let's add some context to those losses. So the first loss came on the road to current ACC frontrunner SMU. Look, they just lost that game. SMU's good this year, and Pitt went on the road and got beat. There's no excuse for that. But loss number two was a 5-point loss to UVA. But Pitt was leading that game late in the third quarter when their starting quarterback was knocked out of the game on a targeting hit. Maybe they win that game. Maybe they don't. But not having your starting quarterback when you're in the lead really makes a difference. We know how much it hurts an offense to lose your starting quarterback. Finally, loss number three was a 4-point loss to Clemson, a top 25 team, without their starting quarterback. Their quarterback did not play in that game. And Pitt had the lead with a minute and 16 left in the game when Clemson won the game on a late touchdown. So, I mean, again, I hate assuming things, but there is a possibility that Pitt could be 9-1 right now if their starting quarterback doesn't miss any time. But either way, the point is, 9-1, 7-3. They have already doubled their win total from last year, more than doubled their win total from last year. And they still have three games to play, two in the regular season. I think one is at Louisville, one is Boston College, and then a bowl game. So they could finish anywhere from 7 to 10 wins in 2024 after going 3-9 with only two FBS wins in 2023. And the thing with that is, if Florida State were to do that next year, if they were to go from a 2-10 team to a 7-8, even 10-win team next year, that's what we want to see in 2025. That is the progress under the new staff with the new pieces that we want to see. We would feel like, okay, maybe this was a fluke. Maybe they can get back to where we expect Florida State to be. We're trying to do more than win 7, 8, 10 games, but to go from 2-10 to 8-4, that's a really sizable jump. That's a really big step in the right direction. And so we would be happy with that in 2025 coming from where we are now. Now, of course, you're going to want to compete for more than that in 2026. We'll talk about that more in a second. But this was accomplished by Pitt by bringing in that new offensive staff, by having better coaching, and by landing a few pieces in the portal. And consider this. Pitt's portal class last year was only ranked 51st with zero blue chip player signs. So they went out and got a bunch of three stars and turned that program around in 1 year with a bunch of three stars. They accomplished this turnaround with the 43rd ranked roster, according to the 247 talent composite, which is actually four spots lower than it was in 2023. So technically on paper, you know, they let some of those starters walk for the NIL stuff. They have a less talented roster than they do this year. Now, I know that doesn't always equal wins because Florida State currently has one win and they have the 13th most talented roster in the country on paper. Paper doesn't really matter, but you get what I'm saying. If they can get this thing turned around, Florida State has that higher floor to work with because they have those blue chip players on that roster. We also know that Mike Norvell has signed three consecutive top 10 transfer classes since they started ranking them in 2022. Now, I understand that this past year's class had a pretty low hit rate. We've seen a lot of busts in this class. I think a lot of that has to do with they got lazy in the portal. They saw logos by names like Alabama and Georgia, and they just took these guys, you know, and they thought they'd be good because of who they were. But there were reasons that those guys were backups. But the thing is, prior to this 2024 class, remember, we used to call Mike Norvell the portal king because he had such a high boom rate versus bust rate in the portal. He had such a high win rate. We've talked about that on this podcast before. And so I think if Mike Norvell can have another high boom rate portal class, because again, you're going to have to go to the portal. You're going to have to do it because your recruiting class has only got 13 members in it right now. And who knows where it's going to be by the time signing day gets here, you're going to have to lean on the portal. So you got to have a good portal class. But again, if they can get back to that 6-8 win range next year, we would consider that a major step in the right direction. And that would snowball into recruiting. That would snowball into getting more transfers for 2026. Now, let me lay out some hypothetical numbers here for you. Florida State, and I know it's hypothetical, I get it, but just bear with me for a minute. So let's say hypothetically that Florida State has Charleston Southern coming up this Saturday. Now, Charleston Southern is terrible. 1-10 FCS team. This is not Jacksonville State. I get it. Florida State hasn't scored over 21 points since Georgia, or haven't scored 21 points since Georgia Tech. They're the only team in FBS and FCS that has not scored over 21 points this season. I understand all that argument. This Charleston Southern is a whole new level of bad. So I think Florida State's going to win handily in this game. I think they're going to be fine. I don't see that as an upset. I don't think it's probably going to be like 72-0 like you would think they would do. But I do think they're going to win somewhere like, you know, 34, 38 points to maybe 6 or something like that. But the point is, if they score over 30 points against Charleston Southern and at least 14 points against Florida, that puts them finishing the season at around a 15-point-per-game average. If Florida State were to make the same 15-point-per-game jump that Pitt made from 2023 to 2024, that would put them at 30 points per game average in 2025. Now, that's still not great. That would not even be a top 50 offense currently in 2024. So you're still got a long way to go, but that's a pretty good jump for 1 year. And it's happened. We've seen it happen before. And so if you even had a 50th-ish ranked offense for 2025. Well, first off, if Florida State was averaging 30 points a game, they'd be 6-4 this year, probably 7-4 after Charleston Southern. That's not great, but it's a lot better than 1-9. And who knows where it would have been if they averaged 30 points a game because the, you know, complimentary football and all that. But here's another factor to consider. So Pitt's schedule for that 7-0 run, we have to kind of put an asterisk next to it because it was a pretty easy schedule. The problem is Florida State does open with Alabama. I get that. That's going to be probably a kick in the teeth next year unless you pull some kind of upset. But hey, they lost to Vandy this year, so you never know. But other than that, Florida State does have an easier schedule in 2025 than they do 2024. So far this season, FSU has faced 6 defenses ranked in the top 50 and 0 ranked 100th or lower. In 2025, only 2 teams on the schedule for next year currently have a top 50 defense. That's Alabama and Virginia Tech. And 4 of the teams on your schedule next year have the 100th or lower ranked defense, including Kent State, who is literally 134, the worst defense in college football, and an FCS team. So while you've played 6 top 50 defenses this year, next year, right now, the teams on your schedule, you have 5 of them, including the FCS team, that are a 100th or lower. So even if you didn't get better coaching, even if you didn't get better players, from a scheduling standpoint alone, you can see a path to improvement on offense by Florida State. So if you combine all 3 of those things, you can see that a 15 point per game jump doesn't really sound that crazy. It doesn't sound that undoable by them. And so I look at that and I say, if you can average 30 points a game next year and your defense stays about the same or gets a little bit better, you can see that path to 6, 8, 9 wins or something like that next year, because you do have some winnable games. You do have a lot of coin flips. And look, this is going to be one of the most crucial off seasons in program history, because it can either turn things around or it can lead FSU down a path of mediocrity that ends with a very expensive outcome of starting over again. But if things were to go right, and that's a big if, I understand that too. If they were to go right and FSU has a Pitt-like turnaround in 2025, I think Florida State's back in business, man. I think if Florida State wins 7-8 games next year, goes to a bowl, and then in 2026, you're competing for the ACC and you're competing for the playoffs, this year will always be a scar in our mind, right? It will. We will wear this forever. But the further that gets in the rearview mirror, if the success comes back, I think people will, they will count that more as a fluke than anything, right? And so, but it's going to be a crucial offseason. These things have to happen. You cannot miss this offseason, because 2026, you need to have a good 2025, because in 2026, you go to Alabama. You have Notre Dame. You go to Miami. So you have a tougher schedule in 2026. So you really need to use 2025 as that springboard to get you back where you want to be. So with all that said, let's address one last thing before we wrap this up. And because there has been an argument that I hear frequently whenever this is brought up, and that is, well, how can we trust Mike Norvell to get this right? Because that's a big if. And again, guys, like, don't say that Jesse's from Plant the Spear said this is a guarantee that we're going to be good in 2025, because I don't know. Only time is going to tell. We don't know who he's going to hire yet. We don't know how the portal's going to look, but I get the trepidation of where people don't trust Mike Norvell to get this right, because he led us to 1-9. He looks lost at times. He also led us to 19 straight wins and a conference championship, which is something that a lot of coaches, good coaches, have never been able to do. And so I think that is still in there somewhere, if you can get that back out of him. I also want to say that when you look at what Mike Norvell inherited during his first 4 years, inherited when he got to FSU, if it were not for one play, Jordan Travis's injury, there's a good possibility that he took FSU from a dumpster fire to a playoff, possibly national championship winning team in 4 years. There's not many coaches that have done that. And so if you can get back to the recipe that led you to that success, and then some, because again, you're going to have to get better high school recruiting, you're going to have to get better at developing the talent that you have, you can see where the success can come back. But can he fix his own mess? So I think that he should have made changes to the staff sooner. We should have never been in this point. He should have made changes after the 2022 or even 2023 season. I think he got comfortable knowing that they had success and didn't make the changes necessary. And I think he learned from that, and I think he'll know that going forward. But why would I feel like Mike Norvell could make good hires? Well, it's kind of the same principle that I talked about back in the 2021 offseason going into 2022, when people said, oh, I want Mike Norvell fired now because this just isn't good enough. And I said, well, when you look back at Mike Norvell's history, because, you know, the offense was lagging. I was like, man, we brought in an offensive mastermind and we don't have a good offense. What is the disconnect? And I said, well, you look back over the course of his career as an OC or head coach, he's had good offenses more often than not. And history tends to trend to the larger number. Like, I expected him to get back to what he's done over the 8 or 9 years of his coaching career, rather than the 2 bad years that he had at Florida State. And guess what happened? In 2022, 2023, we saw that exact thing happen. That's why I said, I don't think we should fire Mike Norvell. I think we should hang on because he has a better history than the current product we're seeing. I also think he has a better history of making coaching hires than the current product that we just saw, the ones that are getting fired now. And to name a few of these good decisions, have you ever heard of a guy named Dan Lanning, who is currently the coach of the number one team in the country at Oregon? There's also Kenny Dillingham, who has led Arizona State to an 8-2 record this season in year two with the Sun Devils, and he is only one win away from achieving the highest win total at ASU in a decade. There's Ryan Silverfield, his old offensive line coach, who has Memphis currently at 9-2. There's Scott Simons, who coached for Norvell at Memphis. He is the DC of the current number one team in the ACC. These are all coaches that came from the Norvell tree. They're not all perfect, but he has a history of making some daggone good hires. And so I think it's not a guarantee to happen, but if he can get hires like we've seen him do in the past at a place like Florida State, when they're probably going to pay, you know, whatever they need to pay to get the good coaches in, because they don't want to have another season like this. If you can hit on these coaching hires, you can see how things can make a change, just like we saw at Pitt. So to wrap this thing up, Florida State needs to have a great offseason in 2025. You're going to need to go to the portal and get a great portal haul. You're going to need to supplement this high school class with a lot of transfers, which is what we didn't want to happen, but it's going to have to happen that way. But again, I know people are going to be like, well, how are you going to get good transfers when you just went 2-10? Well, keep in mind, Mike Norvell did get guys like Keir Thomas, Jermaine Johnson, Dylan Gibbons, and Jamie Robinson to say yes on the heels of a 3-6 season. They got guys, he signed a top 10 transfer class with names like Trey Benson, Johnny Wilson, Jared Verse, Tatum Bethune after a 5-7 season when they started 0-4 and lost to FCS Jacksonville State at the time. So they were able to go out and find diamonds in the rough. Remember, Trey Benson was, everyone said don't take Trey Benson because of his knee injuries. Jared Verse was a no high school offer player at Albany that they found while scouting Syracuse on film. So they got to get away from taking guys because of the logo by their name and get back to finding the diamonds in the rough. And if one portal class can make a massive difference, just look at Miami. So far in this season, you know, Miami went from what, 5-7 to 7-6. And now they're you know, having a good season. They're what, 9-1. But when you look at their roster this year, their leading passer, their leading rusher, their number four receiver, and their starting center are all transfers. Sounds a lot like Pitt. They're starting on defense, their leading tackler, their leader in interceptions, TFLs, and sacks are all transfers. A lot of that team they are very transfer heavy this year. Without one transfer, Cam Ward, Miami's a 4-loss team. So as bad as one bad transfer class, which is what Florida State had in 2024, can take you to where we're at, one really good transfer class can take you to where like a Miami got, to where a Pitt got, where you can rebound really fast and you can improve that win total, you know, over double in one season. So the issue is the margin for error this offseason is razor thin. Any missteps could be the difference between returning to prominence or floundering again next season. Then you have that tough schedule in 2026. Then we're making changes down the road and things, the wheels have come off. And that's why I say this is such a crucial offseason. But the blueprint is there. We've seen it with the Jim Harbaugh. We've seen it with the Brian Kelly. We've seen it with Pat Narduzzi at Pitt. You need this to be a one-year blip on the radar, and it's going to require a great offseason. Now, only time will tell if we get that offseason. He's going to have to bring in better coaches. He's going to have a great portal haul with a high hit rate. He's probably even going to have to make some tough decisions about how NIL is handled. And if that requires you to tell some guys to take a hike or go find it somewhere else, you're going to have to do that, because a lot of the guys that held you hostage for money last year aren't living up to what you're paying them right now. There's only a couple that have. And so you may have to have some tough conversations going down the road in this offseason. But again, you look at that process that worked for a team in the same conference as you. It worked for a team that has technically less talent than you. It hiring an unknown OC from the FCS level and just changing your offensive staff and bringing in some difference makers changed what that Pitt team did in one season. And so you take a potential powerhouse program like Florida State that just came off a 13-0 season, 13-1 with the Orange Bowl in there, and you give them one good offseason. I think that things can be turned around under Norvell faster than people think. Now, is it going to happen? I don't know, because I didn't see us getting to 1-9, potentially 2-10. Yes, this is the worst season we've had in 5 decades in my lifetime, and frankly, it is unacceptable at a place like Florida State. If he doesn't get it turned around, it's time to go. It's time to make a change. But my point is, people are so quick to write off the same coach that was that one play really away from taking FSU from a dumpster fire to a playoff team in a matter of 4 years. Again, will it happen? Only time will tell. But I think you see the roadmap there that it can happen and how it can be done. And we already know that with firing both coordinators, there's going to be massive overhaul to this coaching staff in the offseason. There's going to be they're going to have to take 10 plus guys in the portal this year. But all these things, if they nail it, and there's no guarantee that they will, but if they nail it, you can see a path to Florida State bouncing back next year and getting back to that 7-8 win level in 25, and then using that to springboard back to success going forward under Mike Norvell. And I think that's the best option, because you don't want to have to fire him with that big buyout. You want to have success from the guy you currently have in place as your head coach. He does things right and all that stuff. I get it. There's some people that like him. There's some people that don't. But you don't want to root against your own coach. And so we'll see how things play out. Like I said, there's no guarantee. I'm not promising you that anything's going to happen, because we don't know. But the path is there. And I think that is the most important thing to consider, to give it a chance, let things play out, and let's see how 2025 goes. Let's see how this crucial offseason plays out. And with that being said, guys, I appreciate you tuning in. I appreciate you nerding out with me in another episode about this team. So I appreciate you guys watching, and we'll catch you on the next one. As always, thanks for watching, and go Noles.